we're back with another episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. This is a snack pack, everyone. Late night snack pack. You have to go run to the fridge. You got to get something to eat. It's a snack pack. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from the Lakers Fast Break Pop Culture Cosmos, where we cover the latest news and trends in pop culture each and every week, twice a week, wherever you get your podcasts. Our latest episode, and even though I did goof up on the Poffos, I still cover WrestleMania this weekend. My good friend John Orlando from the PVD cast, we give an hour-long preview of WrestleMania right now, available to you on the Pop Culture Cosmos, plus also as well, Inside Sports Fantasy Football. Joe Soros here. He's the man behind Ox 1947 at LakersBall.com, and also go ahead and check out what he's doing today with his great company, Simblades. Simblades with the Y.com. Of course, our good friends, John Costa. He will be hosting the post game for tomorrow. He also is the man behind Lakers Corner and Clutch Talk. Please go ahead and support his great channels. Lakerholics.com. Laker Tom wants to stop by on Sunday. So go ahead and check out what he's doing with me Sunday afternoon before the Lakers play against the Minnesota Timberwolves in the biggest weekend of the year for the Los Angeles Lakers, which is coming up. So he'll be right in the middle of it with his Lakers weekend, Lakerholic Spotlight, plus also as well, of course, Empire Jeff TV, Lakers in 5, John McCallion channel, and Daniel Berry Sports Highlights. Yo, please go ahead and support all those great channels. And speaking of supporting great channels, support ours. We're already at 1505 on the subscriber scale, but we need more. We're hungry. We're greedy like that. So go ahead and make sure you subscribe today. Follow us on Facebook and like us wherever you see us. It's on Twitter, Twitch, wherever. So you get the latest notifications on when we go live on the air with the latest Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Doobie says the Lakers will win the chip as 8-24 for Kobe, as it was written. So it shall be done, according to Doobie. Search and Destroy is here. Cool, bro. Keeping the fingers crossed for you, my friend. Hoping everything will work out as far as on the love train for you, my friend. But it is the Lakers Fast Break. Thought we would come back at you because so much is in flux in the Western Conference, because so much out there is changing before the Lakers tomorrow at 12:30 p.m. Pacific head up against the Cleveland Cavaliers, which we'll have for you on our playback.tv Lakers Fast Break as far as the live scoreboard and chat. We'll go ahead and make sure we at least post that for you. But the Lakers coming into tomorrow, they will be tied for eighth place in the Western Conference. But due to the tiebreaker, they're still listed in ninth, but they have the same record now because the Sacramento Kings, their valiant comeback on the road at Boston, fell just 1 point short. And that makes it so that they're both 44-33 on the season. New Orleans Pelicans, they absolutely had a lead that unfortunately they didn't keep, as they got burned by the San Antonio Spurs and Victor Wembanyama. They were up by 10 at the half, so there's no excuses there. The Dallas Mavericks got back on the winning trail, winning by two, Frank's favorite team, over the Golden State Warriors. That helps us out because that puts an extra little buffer of two games now behind us for 10th place. So looking more and more like the Warriors are going to be settling for 10th. And here today to discuss all those games and also the Phoenix Suns, who did win against Minnesota, is a good man indeed. He is the mastermind behind Simblades, Simblades with a Y.com. It is, of course, Joe Soro. Joe, great to have you here. Frank says, is it just me or is most of the top seeded teams looking like frauds? Well, they're trying very hard not to win lately, it seems like, Frank. And I have a tendency to agree just to a little bit of extent. But your thoughts, my friend, on the day's action in the Western Conference before we break it all down bit by bit.
Maybe Carl Anthony Towns isn't allowing Minnesota to do maybe what they really want to do. There's some excuse there, but I keep being told that Anthony Edwards is this next level god.
And Naz Reid is such a great replacement for
him. At the end of the day, folks, when you've seen the great ones, as much as some of us have, it's very easy to know who isn't him. And this is not Austin Reeves him. I think Austin Reeves uses that to just motivate himself and to be, I don't know, be in the moment. If you're about him, you need to be like a Jokic. You need to be someone who's dropping things game in, game out, winning championships, winning MVPs. That's when you know you're that guy. I don't feel that Anthony Edwards is there. And I don't really know if he'll ever get there either. I'm still in between, maybe, maybe not. The Oklahoma City Thunder are young and inexperienced, and this is their true first run as a top team. So that has a little bit of an excuse, because that's how the NBA works. Veteran leadership, veteran experience does matter, no matter how good you are talent-wise. The Denver Nuggets could be half-assing it to some degree. And in the end, they have the cachet. They could turn it on in the playoffs and do what they need to do to win it all. So I'm not going to really look at Denver and say, oh, well, are they frauds? If they're frauds, they would have to lose in the first round, maybe the second round, to be frauds. But more important than that, at least for us Laker fans, is some good stuff happened today. And the Lakers currently have control their own destiny in making sure that they only have to play one play-in game. They win out, they will clinch at least an 8, which would mean they only need one win to qualify for the playoffs. And one of our esteemed panels.
Panelists.
You know, the chat.
Yeah, we've been blowing it all over the place, my friend. I forgot the Poffos.
I am embarrassed. Yeah,
you got Herder, and then Sean Herder.
I screwed up Herder.
Yeah.
These Euros are jacking up all my brain, like my mind, like everything that said.
I got my Poffos mixed up on WrestleMania weekend.
You know what it's like? It's just like when Benoit Benjamin, that's what they called him, Benoit Benjamin, an old NBA player in the 90s. They called him Benoit, but it's actually Benoit in Canada, right? Takes a second. Your brain is used to Benoit, and then somebody says, no, it's Benoit. Oh, sorry. So Huerta is the first thought I had instead of Herder. It's not Sade, it's Sadie, right? That's an old In Living Color skit. Tommy Davidson plays Spike Lee.
But before we even get in more of the playoffs, we do got a big shout-out to Sean Harder, who did
email us. Sean Harder pointed out such an obvious thing that I'm going to say. I don't know about you, G.
Well, no, we probably all said it.
I blew this one. This one I blew back. Like, I blew this one out. Like, I screwed it up. No Diddy, by the way. I screwed it up. I screwed this one up. This one's just something I should have recognized. And he did, and he made light of it. So thank you, Sean, for bringing that to our
attention. We should have rephrased it. We should have, instead of saying that, LeBron has benefited the most out of when he made those comments on the plan, we should rephrase that he has been part of one of the teams that has been most involved in the play-in tournaments since its inception, since he called it out and whatnot. So that's probably a better way to say it. Instead of he's benefited from it, he's actually just been involved. His team been on, as far as one of the teams that have been involved most in the play-in scenarios over the years that they've been doing it. That's probably a better way to say it.
Well, whatever it is, it didn't make sense.
He called us out on it, and he got it right. Yes, you will give him props. Will give him props. Absolutely. Right.
Exactly. And the excitement of the run is probably why they created this, and they've been getting it. And this is what it is. And I'm glad that it was brought to our attention, and we're or we're going to likely, I think we got a good shot at getting a 7 or 8 seed here the rest of the way. The Lakers win the next 5 games, they got the 8 seed for sure, because they're going to be playing New Orleans in that run, and they own the tiebreaker against them. So everyone can win out, and if the Lakers win out, they get that 8 seed at the very least.
So let's take a look at it real quick, Joe. Houston Rockets, they're done. They're 4 games back. They're done. They're toast. Golden State, they did lose today on the road at Dallas, who did not have Luka in the lineup, and they blew a golden opportunity there. So they're now 2 full games behind the Los Angeles Lakers with 5 to play. The Lakers are tied with Sacramento. Remember, everyone, the Kings do have the tiebreaker on that, so that's why they're listed in 8th. But they're also only 1 game behind the Pelicans, who blew an easy opportunity today at home against San Antonio. Excellent day as far as that end. The only game that really affected us in a negative way was Phoenix. So the thought of just trying to get to Phoenix's level, we're still 2 games back, Joe, but Phoenix with 5 games left and having to make up 2 games, we do have the tiebreaker on them, but that's still going to be hard to do.
It is. That one was a burner, because if we're down 1 game against Phoenix, let's say they go, if they were 45-32, just like New Orleans is, the Lakers, I would have felt you could have now jumped to 6. And that's something that's just as important. If they lose tonight, and they could lose 2 more games before the end of the year, which is fine. But as of today, just basing it off today, if they had lost tonight, the Lakers would have been 1 game behind both the Pelicans and the Suns, whom they own the tiebreaker, which means the Lakers win out and those 2 teams lose 1 more game, which if the Lakers win out, the Pelicans will lose 1 game. And Phoenix would have to lose a game because we don't face them anymore. The Lakers go to 6. Of course, unless the Sacramento Kings win out, which I don't think they will. So there's this could have really, today, we could have really started talking about, can the Lakers get the 6th spot? Boy, if they get the 6th spot, woo, things get very, very, very dramatic at that point. We can really start talking about, well, are the Lakers going to face a team in the first round that's, let's say, an Oklahoma City Thunder, which I still think Denver's going to somehow find their way to the 1 seed. You play Oklahoma City or Minnesota in that 3 spot, and you're the 6th spot. That means if the Clippers beat Dallas, which I think Dallas is going to end up getting the 5th seed, you could have an LA Clippers second round series. That becomes very interesting.
Although right now it's looking more like a 4-5 matchup with Dallas. I'm still picking Dallas in that one. Dallas has a lot of momentum on their side.
I would have thought that yesterday before the Clippers beat the Nuggets without Kawhi.
But remember, Nuggets didn't have Murray either.
Right. Well, that's true. I guess that evens it out. I think Dallas has issues, though. I think they'll have issues with the Clippers in a 7-game series. I think the Clippers can clamp down on Luka a little bit more in the playoffs, focus on some things. I think the Clippers can do more than the Mavericks in a 7-game series. Luka would have to go Luka on them to win, probably, which he could. But I think the Clippers may surprise in that first round against Dallas. I think that they match up well against them. If Phoenix ends up in the 5th spot, I think Phoenix takes out the Clippers.
Really?
Which is possible, yes.
Well, Phoenix is playing well. I will give them that. You know, they were coming, like I said, into the hardest schedule, or one of the hardest schedules ever for the last 10 games of the regular season of any team in the past 2 decades, at least. And you know what? Give them credit. They're playing at a peak level, and they're beating the teams out there. So they're staving off anybody and everybody, even though they still have got a murderer's row left to finish the season. So got to give them a props on that. So them playing this well at this point of the season might not bode well for other teams out there, but for the Lakers' chances to get six, it also makes it that much harder, Joe.
Everyone's going to be battle-tested here in the last half of the playoff run. And it would be important for the top four also to be ready for that in a league that's starting to get a little bit tighter in those top to low seeds. You're seeing eight seeds go to the finals from the East. You're seeing the Lakers go from seven seed to the Western Conference Finals. And while they got swept by the Nuggets, they were competitive in every game. And two of those games, they had a considerable lead that they blew. Mm-hmm. There is something going on here, and we might see something here again materialize in that there might be a team that's sitting in the 6-7 spots that could take that series from a 2 or a 3.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
I don't feel like that people have done that as much, especially with this international release.
You can get out there right now.
I know you can get it out there, but it feels like this time last year, people have just been like, oh,
you
can
get
you
the
Here's
cell
a copy,
phone version you know? That was taped somewhere where it's like, you know, shell shaky, has some dude or some family that's walking right in front of you as they're finding their seat with the popcorn already in hand.
No,
you know,
come on.
That,
really?
Yeah, that version is already available.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
with a mono sound. There you go.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's the worst part. You only get sound on the left ear, not the right ear.
Something like that. You can find that version already if you really want it. That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. But once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. It is Joe Sora along with me, Joe Glassford. Thanks again for watching and listening. Truly appreciate it. Thought we'd bring up the brackets for you and have you take a look and see what's going on. If it were to end today, you still see the Lakers and the Warriors meeting in that first of the play-in games. And then you see the Pelicans and Kings facing off. But you see right now, again, how close it is with the Lakers, possibly still with the, you know, outside of getting as high as sixth place. Again, Phoenix has to suddenly go cold, and that's something that they haven't done yet in the past week to 10 days. That's going to be the hard deal. Dallas themselves, technically they could still leap over Dallas, but I think that's even unrealistic there. I still think that seventh place is not out of the realm of possibility because the Pelicans are also finding hard times. A loss to San Antonio at home, Joe, that was bad.
That was a bad loss. Yeah. That was a really bad loss. And if the Lakers end up winning out, that's going to be the loss they look back on and go, oh, damn, we really screwed this up. I think it's going to be hilarious if we end up playing the Kings in the play-in 7 and 8. I think that's something I'm starting to feel that might happen. I really am, especially with New Orleans going the way they're going. Mm-hmm. They could end up in the 9. Lakers could end up in 7 or 8. I think it would be poetic. I think it would be great TV and definitely great for the Laker fans. Should they get the 8 and the Kings get the 7, they go up to Sacramento and beat them there. I think that would be fitting for Kings Nation to have to go through all they went through here in their existence against the Lakers and then sweep them in the regular season only to lose to them at home. In a play-in. Now, they won't be out. They'll have to win another game to do that. But what if they end up losing? Let's say Golden State beats New Orleans. What if they end up losing to their Northern California rivals on top of that? To me, that would be great TV. Even if I wasn't a Laker fan, I think that would be great TV.
Well, my friend, there's still much more to talk about on today's show. Again,
no, Gary, I will not stop. Ever. Until you are dead. I cannot be bargained with. I cannot be reasoned with. I do not feel pity or remorse or fear. And I absolutely will not stop. You know the rest.
Yes. But it is, of course, the Lakers fast break. It is Joe Sorrell.
90% of the chat's like, what the hell is this guy talking about?
It's one of his movie quotes, guys. But it is, of course, the Lakers fast break. It is Joe Sorrell along with me, Joe Glassford. Thanks so much again for listening. I did get an update on Vanderbilt. He is still in solitary workouts. 805 says he isn't coming back. It's funny from 805 saying he isn't coming back. We don't need him. Remember this time last week, a lot of people in the chat were saying we do need him. Vanderbilt's still way off. Jared Vanderbilt is still not even been approved for 5-on-5 contact. I don't know, Joe. It's looking less and less likely that Vanderbilt's going to give us any kind of help this season.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to have to let it play out. I was surprised Gabe Vincent came back. Coming back is I use that loosely, considering he doesn't really. I don't know how a guy who hasn't played all year can be conditioned to play this late in the season, and then you expect him to be someone who might help when the real season starts.
You expect it to be like the last time he got off the injury, like he was really, really bad that first 2 to 3 weeks.
Well, Vanderbilt hasn't been able to stay healthy, and then the playoffs haven't been his cup of tea either. He's easily neutralized, and
he gets schemed out.
Planned out. Yeah. Vando would have to go to another level in his own mind in terms of confidence, because I think a lot of that had to do with confidence last year, where he wasn't getting things.
He was pretty good in the first round and part of the second round against the Warriors. It was until he had to fight through screens. They made a special effort to screen him off in the Golden State Warriors series. And then in the Western Conference Finals, they literally had every answer for Jared Vanderbilt and absolutely played him off the floor. But that first round, he was really good.
He looked very depressed towards the end there. He wasn't very confident in his ability. A guy that athletic, a guy that big who can move should be very, very valuable in those moments, because you have someone that actually can play defense, who has the length, who has the athleticism. That's where Darvin Ham needs to tap into something in his head to say, hey, look, you're the man. Don't go under the screen. Don't go over the screen in these instances. Make sure you do this. Make sure you do that. And if you execute these things, you're going to be valuable to the team. But I don't know if he's that kind of player. I don't know if he's that player. Well, we're at least in playoffs, we'd have to wait and see. And I don't know if this year is going to be it, because you can't expect the guy twice during the year to be out as long as he has and be physically and mentally ready for a playoff run that's going to absolutely need him. See, that's the thing, is they need Vanderbilt. They need Gabe Vincent, because they have nothing on the bench.
Well, I was saying to...
Of any consistency,
The first 3 weeks when he came off that injury earlier this season, he was absolutely terrible. But those last 2 weeks, they finally, got into the game shape, whatever you want to say, they finally utilized him properly as a cutter to the rim, down low, keeping down low, minimized the three-point attempts, and then found and utilized him best on the defensive end as far as matchups are concerned. So, again, maybe they will revert back if he does get the chance to come back before the end of the season and remember exactly how best they utilized him on the team to give you maybe 10 to 15 minutes in the playoffs.
There's definitely going to be a matchup focus with Vanderbilt. If you can put him on players that he can contain, you use him. Same thing with Gabe Vincent. We can agree. Let's say Gabe Vincent gets into game shape here in the next 2-3 weeks. It's relatively, right? Not all the way, I guess. But is Gabe Vincent, in shape Gabe Vincent, a better defender than D'Lo?
Yeah, I would probably say yes.
Okay, so we know Vanderbilt's the best defender not named AD on the team, correct?
Yes.
Okay. There is value there This is where Darvin Ham needs to use what he can use. This is what separates the good coaches from the bad coaches. There has to be a scenario where they're used for their talents in areas that you know that they're going to be better in versus your regulars. You know that these guys are not in any way close offensively to your regulars, but they do have an advantage defensively. So you're going to need to make sure you use that. If you see LeBron is hot, you see LeBron being aggressive, getting to the hoop, you see AD is going to probably drop 30 and 15. That's when you start thinking about using certain defenders, using certain defensive skill set guys, helping you with those guys. Because if they're going to take the offensive brunt, then go ahead and put insert those guys in. Now, I'd like to see Gabe Vincent with D'Angelo because I don't want to lose that three-point stuff that's coming from D'Angelo.
He's playing with a lot of confidence.
D'Angelo right now, this is not living in the moment. This isn't prisoners of the moment. He is the best three-point shooter that I can remember on the Lakers since Nick Van Exel. Now, Nick Van Exel didn't shoot threes like they shoot now. But when Nicky V would shoot threes, I always felt they were going to go in.
You know, that's actually not true statistically, but I understand what you're saying. Because LeBron is actually the best three-point shooter
LeBron is – because LeBron is so great, your brain doesn't go to 40% from three. I have never argued that LeBron is actually an underrated shooter. When he might not be
No, he actually D'Angelo is. Actually, Rui is. Rui is the leader. 42-3. D'Angelo's 42-1, and LeBron is 41-6. Wow, I thought after that nine out of ten game, I thought he passed both of them up, but no, he hasn't. Okay. And you know, that's so you got 42% shooters, Joe. That's really not too bad.
What's up, Ralph? Gary, what are you, a comedian tonight? With all your quips and puns?
Search and Destroy says Bob McAdoo. They are too young. I absolutely loved when we got Bob McAdoo and when the contributions he made coming off the bench.
It's hard to talk about that era. I didn't watch it. I know by what I've researched.
It was really cool. You knew you were going to get some buckets when McAdoo Cooper came off the bench, Hall of Famer now.
McAdoo always looked like he wanted to kill somebody. Is it just me? Like, even when he was interviewed after the 82 finals win, he just kind of was like looking at like, what, you didn't expect this?
Oh, hush, Darren. They're like within a percentage point of each other. It could fluctuate on a daily basis. Come on. Give me a break here. It is, of course, the Lakers fast break. It is Joe Soro peering in with his evil eyes right there for you on the Lakers fast break. He's got the LA gear on. You don't look too sunburned, man, for a guy that was out all day.
Dude, what's sunburn? It's freaking cloudy and sprinkly.
Okay. All right. Well, it's sunny where we were at, so that's why I say. It is, of course, the Lakers' fast break. But, Joe, again, the Lakers, they are in ninth place. Technically, same record, though, as Sacramento Kings. This is the biggest weekend of the year for the Lakers. You've got Cleveland on Saturday, and then you've got Minnesota on Sunday. Very tall task, although both teams, Minnesota and Cleveland, are struggling as they head into LA. Your thoughts?
Very winnable games. They're at home. I have full confidence that the Lakers will play well. Whether they win or not, we'll have to wait and see. But they're on a collision course here with the deciding games on one or two games. At the very least, one or two games to get in the playoffs. Sixth tonight was, God, it was so close, so damn close if Phoenix had lost. But I'll focus on what I know that they can control, which is making sure that they close out at least an 8 seed at the moment. They can win every game and they'll close an 8 seed. So that's what I'm going to focus on. And they do that, then they save themselves from having to worry about winning two to get into the playoffs.
This is the biggest weekend of the season for the Lakers. No question about it.
What was that?
I said this is the biggest weekend of the season for the Lakers. I mean, a lot is riding on this. if they go 2-0 or if they go 0-2.
Every game, every week at this point is going to be the most important week. That's a fact. The Lakers are in playoff mode right now. Today, yesterday, last week. And they're going to have to win. They're going to have to win every game in the next 6 to 7 games, depending on how it plays out. Well, if they win the next 5 games, they'll only have 4 more games after that. They have to win 6 in a row to get in the playoffs. Let's call it what it is. I'm sorry. They won't make the playoffs officially, but they'll have one game. No, wait, hold on. Sorry. They win the rest of their games in the regular season, and they win one more after that, they're in the playoffs. Guaranteed. They win 6 in a row, they're guaranteed into the playoffs. That's it.
Could be as high as 6. Still a chance for 6.
There is a chance for 6, but Phoenix is going to have to lose 2 more games.
Yeah.
And the Lakers are going to have to obviously again win the rest of their games. That is key. So Phoenix has to lose 2. Sacramento has to lose 1. And the Lakers win out, they get the 6th seed. How about that?
Fair enough.
How about that? That's where it's gone to. Imagine if they go through all this and they get the 6th seed. And they face Minnesota without Carlisle. And face, let's say, Minnesota in the first
round. Or OKC.
Without Karl Anthony Towns.
Or OKC with the fact that they have their issues as far as against big guys and rebounding.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. But I think Oklahoma City is going to get the number 2. Yeah. I have a really good feeling they're going to get number 2.
We'll see. I mean, Phoenix has still to this day, the
who has the tiebreaker between OKC and Minnesota?
That I don't know. I'd have to look at the schedule on that.
Panels, look it up. I should have looked it up, but I didn't think of the question until now.
Phoenix still has the probably the worst of the schedules left as far as the ones with the most work to do. But still, I think that, you know, again, the way the Phoenix is playing, they're playing at a pretty good pace right now. Booker and Durant seem to be hitting on all cylinders. And if that's probably going to get them at least a couple wins, if not more. So that may hold off the Lakers for 6th place, but you never know. Again, if they start to falter and the Lakers can get through this weekend 2-0, that puts a different perspective on things, I think, for the entire league. And that's something I'm hoping that the Lakers will put the pressure on, that they will put the pressure on, Joe, the rest of the NBA with a good weekend coming up.
Yeah. I don't know about pressure, but.
Well, if they win 2 games, it creates a lot of pressure for Sacramento, for New Orleans, for Phoenix, because Lakers are right there. No longer are they like a game and a half behind or 2 games behind. They are right there in the mix for the 6, 7, 8 right there.
Who's worried about playing the Lakers in the first round?
I think
everyone but the Denver Nuggets, right?
Yeah, I think they should be. I think they should be scared of Dallas, Phoenix, and the Lakers, because all 3 of those teams could go a very long way if with the things break the right way. I think all 3 of those teams have the talent in the playoffs, in the shortened roster, and a shortened rotation. All 3 of those teams, if certain things break the right way, have a chance to go a long way in the playoffs.
So I'm going to make a prediction. Dallas is going to get the 5th seed. Phoenix is going to get the 6th. The Lakers will have the 7th seed. This is going to be the first time in NBA history where the 5, 6, and 7 seeds beat the 4, the 3, and the 2 in the same year. How about that?
Now that would be impressive.
That's my prediction, outlandish prediction of the year.
Okay.
How about that? You like that? Gary, you like that? You bum?
Sir says, Mr. Joe.
I'm just kidding. You're not a bum.
But so much still to talk about when it comes to what's going on in the NBA. Although I did want to bring this up before we continue back on to the Lakers. Sunday, and before I forget it, Sunday mentioned that Kelvin Martin, you know, former NBA player, mentioned that Brooke Lopez should be, in his opinion, on this Hall of Fame weekend where all these Hall of Famers get mentioned, a future Hall of Famer. Your thoughts on Brook Lopez and his Hall of Fame eligibility, my friend?
Really? Brook Lopez.
Brook Lopez.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
What was his criteria for that?
I don't know, but it was just mentioned in the chat, and Sunday reminded me of exactly who said it, and I was like, who in the hell said that? But okay.
Well, let's see here. Brooke was drafted in 2009. He's, what, in his 16th season?
Is he the? I think he's the Nets' all-time leading scorer, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. He was notorious for being the 29 guy, 20 points, 9 rebound guy, right? Or 8 rebound guy.
He's a terrible rebounder.
Okay.
Back with the Nets.
He's made one All-Star team. He's made one defensive first team in his career. And, sorry. He's not.
He's not. I thought you'd be more angry about it personally, but yeah.
I don't know. I wouldn't get angry about that. I don't know why you think I'd get angry about something like that.
Okay. But maybe something that will get you angry is the fact that Bronny James, yes, he has entered the transfer portal, which we reported on a couple of days ago, but he's also made himself eligible for this year's upcoming draft. Now, he will probably get evaluated, hear from NBA GMs or hear from the league and get some feedback before he makes a decision whether or not to stay in the draft. But he has started through the process. If he goes back, he can't do it again.
He's not going back to college.
Okay.
He's not going back to college. We should have called this a long time ago. Okay. He ain't going anywhere. He was going to play 1 year USC and go home and go play in the NBA. Which is a travesty. It's a stupid decision. Absolutely stupid decision. He is not an NBA player, and he never will be. He'll be an NBA player as a prop, which is disgusting to me. This is a professional sports league. This isn't reality TV. Seriously, it's a joke. It's a joke. It's a joke, and I'm tired of people doing one thing and saying and saying another thing. Leave this kid alone. Why are you parading this kid in front of everyone then if you want him to be left alone? Why is this a discussion? Why are we talking about a player who can't play in the NBA? We hear the word privilege a lot.
I think
not the most privileged thing you've seen in sports.
Yeah.
This is disgusting. It's pathetic. Don't turn my sports into a reality show. You can suck it. I don't want it. You go watch it on Bravo or any of those lame-ass channels. Don't bring it here. Anyone who drafts Bronny is a freaking moron. Sorry. He ain't an NBA player.
You know the Lakers have a very late second-round draft.
I don't give a shit what they have. If they pick him, they're a joke. They're a damn joke. And if you think I'm bad now, wait. If that happens, we'll never get a chance. We'll never be close to the Laker organization. We're going to be the freaking disaster zones for the Laker franchise. That's a joke. It's pathetic. Go find another profession, dude. You can't play in the NBA. I'm sorry, you can't. You did good. You got the school. Apparently, you don't value the education. You probably don't need it because you got daddy's money. Again, that word privilege. 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 Be careful what you say, folks. Down the line, you might end up looking like a hypocrite.
I did want to mention to Kurt that, because he was asking about it, he still has the option to pull out of the draft. That's why he also made himself eligible for the transfer portal, because of also as well, Coach USC and Andy Einfeld left to SMU. USC just hired a coach, Eric Musselman. I think Eric Musselman is a really good coach. He took Nevada and also Arkansas to several NCAA tournaments. I think he's a good coach. I think he should stay at USC. That's my personal opinion. And he still will have that option because he will get feedback from the league exactly where he's at. And Joe, we're talking about a player who averaged less than 5 points a game at the college level, just came off a heart ailment. He's still got to get, he's going to be tested by the league. His heart is going to be tested by the league just to make sure it's up to standards first before we even talk about his ability. So yeah, I just don't know. I mean, obviously I understand why, but this is just crazy, Joe. It's absolutely crazy. And you're right. This could turn into a circus sideshow. Should he be drafted or should he stay in the draft and be selected?
Any organization that drafts him are morons. I'm going to stick to that. He's not an NBA player and he never will be. He could stay at USC for 4 years. He will never be an NBA player ever. If he is, you have sold yourself to trash any NBA franchise that drafts him. And it's as simple as that. This isn't Marvin Harrison Jr. Not even close. This isn't Jabari Smith Jr. This guy is 6 foot two, which is, he's probably close to the 6.5. A lot of times they jack up that number. He's a little over 6 feet tall, likely without shoes. He doesn't have the athleticism to play in the NBA. He doesn't have the hops to play in the NBA. And doesn't have the shooting ability to play in the NBA. I don't understand why this season. If his name wasn't LeBron James Jr., he's not even at USC. He's probably playing at McNeese State or something. If that. Sorry for those McNeese State alums. I'm not trying to dog on your school. I'm just talking about schools that people don't know who they are. I know who you guys are, and I respect you all, but I'm just saying, you know, USC brought him in there because they knew that there'd be crowds coming into the gates.
I think Musselman's a good coach, and I think he should give it a chance at USC, but, you know, what do I know?
I know coaches tend to jump from one team to another.
Oh, yeah, especially at the college level. That's right, yeah.
You know, Nick Saban went from, what, Michigan State to LSU to Alabama, Cleveland Browns in the NFL, Miami. You know, that's the life of a coach. But I think Eric Musselman is he's good enough to get jobs, but not good enough to stay at a job.
Well, they all hop. Andy Einfeld just hopped. I mean, they're like 5 years, 4 or 5 years.
At some point, you got to win if you're going to be considered good.
Well, he's taken teams to the Elite Eight. Both of them have. So, I mean, solid coaches. I didn't say they were, you know, I think they're good coaches.
It's hard.
When good you're not college a power, coaches.
You're not a Power 5 team in the NCAA tournament. It's difficult to win.
Well, USC will get to the Big 10, which is now, what, the Big 23 or 24 or whatever the hell, how many teams are in it now. You know, certainly not the Big 10, that's for sure. But that be aside, they're going to go ahead and get all that Big 10 money. So we'll see what that does for their recruiting. But it is Bronny James. He has decided to go ahead and put his name into the transfer portal and also at the same time make his name eligible for the NBA draft. Again, we have issues with it, but please let us know your thoughts in the comments and also as well in the chat. I really think this kid is being done wrong, but we'll see what his future holds here.
Sean, you just hit another one, buddy. I mean, you're on fire the last 2 days. That's why that came to my mind. That's why that team popped in my head.
That's good. Kurt Affair, yeah, it's just a little too early for Bryce right now. Just a little too early indeed. But it is the Lakers Fast Break. Lakers 60, 1973, what's going on? Truly appreciate you joining us along with everybody else. If you not yet liked and subscribed, please do so to get the latest notifications on when we go live on the air with the latest Lakers Fast Break. But before we head on out, I want to stress once again how important this weekend is. I say that, Joe, because this weekend has two playoff teams upper tier in both their conferences in Cleveland and Minnesota. That's why I think it's so important. The other games, a little bit more clear cut on what the Lakers can really do to go ahead and win those games. These games back to back, even though it's at home, are still not going to be any type of landslides, blowouts, or anything like that. They're going to be really I think a challenge for the Lakers this weekend.
If the Lakers continue to play, the starters play the way they've been playing, I have full confidence that they can win these games. The issue right now, let's say they went, I feel comfortable that they'll beat Cleveland. Minnesota, I know it's the back end of a back-to-back. That one will be tough. We'll have to see if they play LeBron and AD. That's going to depend on how Cleveland kind of probably plays out. The thing is, Golden State, Steph could go off because that's Steph Curry, right? Mm-hmm. I'd say I'm more concerned about that game than I am the first two games for some reason, because it's Steph and the Warriors have beaten us the last two times. And maybe the Lakers are due. So we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. But first, let's take care of tomorrow. It's an afternoon game. So you win tomorrow, you're done playing by, let's say, 3 o'clock. You don't have to play until
7 o'clock
Sunday night.
Yeah, they're doing it later than normal, Joe. It's 7. It's not a 6 o'clock start time.
Yeah. So I think if you can maybe blow out Cleveland and have LeBron and AD sitting most of the fourth, that would be advantageous for the following night, because you wouldn't have to worry about sitting both of them or one of them, getting that win, and then you're putting yourself in a position where we could see some increases in the standings for the Lakers. They could end up playing the Warriors. By the time they play the Warriors, be sitting at the eighth spot. And then things can get very, very interesting. I am trying to speak it into existence, because the Lakers have given me a reason to. They went 5-1 on a road trip. I thought they were going to likely get the 3-3. Even though those teams stunk, it's still a road trip. It's still late in the season. These are human beings who are tired. Jet lag from Toronto to Washington to Brooklyn. Well, I should say Brooklyn to Toronto to Washington. Before then, they were playing Indiana and got their butts whooped, and they were tired in that game. They ended up winning games that they should have won, but they still won. And that in a situation that they've stunk in all year, which is being on the road.
They impressed me, yeah, because they were by far and away the worst team record-wise.
They locked up. They're locking in. Just like how Phoenix is locking in right now, just like how Dallas is locking in. They're locking in.
That Indiana game, I thought, was really a lot of trouble for the Lakers, and that was only halfway through.
But they played through it, Joe. Yeah, what sucks about that game is if they weren't tired in that game, they would have won it. Because Indiana wasn't shooting well. Usually Indiana's off the charts on offense. Mm-hmm. Had they not been dead dog tired, they probably would have won that game too. But they're in a good position right now. They control their own destiny and making sure that they can at least clinch without having to play a second game.
Gary says, nice road trip, meets zilch to him.
Well, Gary, soon your life is going to mean zilch. How about that? You like that? I got more coming. Shit. Try to break up my party.
We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout, but we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Hey, Lakers fans, looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com. Once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. Kubro says, but I want to be like Joe Dante. Hey, Kubro, just focus in on what you focus in on. You've already said at the beginning of the show what you were, you know, hoping to go about as far as, you know, your dating life. Focus in on that. You got someone maybe that's a possibility out there, my friend. Focus in on trying to do the best you can to, you know, really, really do well and impress her and show her that, you know, you're something worthwhile, my friend. So we'll leave it at that.
I could imagine Gerald.
I'm trying to raise him up, and then you're cutting him down.
So what, Gerald, okay. Gerald in the locker room. Just imagine Gerald trying to, I guess, pump up the team with that speech. That'd be
no. That I used a little bit
guys,
more.
Guys, you got to give it 110%. Let the chips fall where they may. Take it one game at a time. Right?
It's a don't forget, it's a team game.
Oh, and there's no I in team.
I don't like that one.
There's a W in win.
Yeah, that's better. There you go. All right. What's up, Xbox? Good day, my friend. Down under. Always appreciate you, Jeremy, Sports Baby, Aussie, everybody out there in Australia. Hey, can I ask you guys something in Australia? Is there any good radio stations out there that would love to play the Lakers Fast Break? Let us know. Let us know. Philippines, let us know. Got any radio stations out there that would love to have a 2-3 hour slot with the Lakers? We'd love to set it up for next weekend. We're starting to going to go ahead and put out some feelers to some radio stations.
Dante, I've never put Red Bull in Hennessy, only Coke or straight up. Hennessy is an acquired taste as you can get. You have to be in the mood to drink Hennessy. And you got to drink it slow with a nice cigar is my suggestion.
Okay.
Yeah, radio, we've put the first feeler out for the radio thing, so we'll see if that materializes into something.
Yeah, we'd love to go ahead and be on, see if we could be on a little bit more often and see if we could be in a local radio station in your area. So if you're interested, please tell your radio station about us right here at the Lakers Fast Break, and hopefully I'll put the good word out for us right here at the Lakers Fast Break. But JSJ, yes, there are a lot of Filipino radio stations. Yes, absolutely. That's why I'm asking, JSJ, because there's a ton out there, and I would love to see if we could get the Lakers, and the Filipino audience out there loves their Lakers, and we'd love to go ahead and, like, the Australian audience, Brazil, all over. We'd love to be a part of what you guys are doing out there and all over the world for the Lakers, right here at the Lakers Fast Break. But before we head on out, Joe, again, you seem a lot more confident. 2-3 weeks ago, you and I were kind of, I don't know where this is going, but it's not going in the direction we like. But this has certainly changed with a successful road trip and the fact that the Lakers have had these teams starting to go ahead and get some injuries and also some play that's not conducive to playoff basketball from a couple of them. So it's kind of gotten a little bit more, I don't want to say we're full of confidence now, but it's give us a little bit more reason to go ahead and think that the Lakers can find themselves in a better position come 2-3 weeks down the road, my friend.
Well, it's not a coincidence that both New Orleans and Sacramento got hit with some massive injury issues. Mm-hmm. One being Brandon Ingram in New Orleans. He's an integral part of that team. He's 1A with 1B Zion, and they can flip one or, you know, depending on the game, they can flip back and forth on which one is more valuable. So that's a big loss for them, not only from the court standpoint, but psychologically. Then you look at Sacramento. Herter out, which already was not good, because Herter always hurts us. You like that one, Gary? Put that in your pipe and smoke it. And then the next day, they lose a Monk. So I'm sitting there going, ding, 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 ding. Opportunity has rung. And it's also knocked. I got tons of them, folks. I'll keep coming. I'll keep coming with it. And it's all natural, too, by the way. I didn't write any of this shit down. So, anyways, the Lakers are playing their best basketball, I would even say, above the in-season tournament time. And they don't have any major injuries from their main guys. So, knock on wood, that continues. because they're going to need every damn one of them. It is important that they finish this off the correct way. If they go 5-0 to finish the season, we know where they'll be at that point, the very least. Even if they finish 4-1, it's still a success in a lot of ways. Can't expect these guys to win 10 out of 12 and go, ah, you guys suck. You know, it does suck, though, that this could have been avoided had they just taken a few games seriously early on. But I'm not going to keep harping on that because it's just wasting energy. The Lakers need to get at least into that 8 seed. I think they can get the 8 seed even if they lose one more game. They can get the 7 seed if they win out. If Phoenix can lose a couple more games, they could sneak in and just really get lucky and get the 6. Then at that point, they don't have to worry about any of the other crap. That's where it is. There's a lot of scenarios here. There's a lot of things that can go. Barring injury, I think the Lakers are in good shape to advance from where they are in the ninth spot.
Do you think the Lakers will play LeBron and AD both games this week?
I believe they will. I believe they will because they have to.
Because they're now close. They're now in it. They can now taste it.
I believe they have to play the remaining 5 games.
If they were still a game and a half off, would you still think the same way?
Game and a half off from the 16.
Let's say it was like last week when there were two games, a game and a half, two games out from the set from the 8 seed. That's right. Let's say just
yes. Like, yes, they have to. They can't risk it. That's why they played in Washington. Mm-hmm. And by the way, if they hadn't played, they probably would have lost that game based off how Washington looked like a bunch of freaking snipers from everywhere.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's not really playtime now. I don't think they can afford to. I think they've been fortunate this last few months where they haven't played with LeBron a few of those games and even AD in some of those games, and they've won. Don't press your luck at this point now. Now you guys have a legitimate chance of getting a 6 or 7 seed. As hard as it will be to get a 6, you have a really good chance. You still have a realistic chance, not a, well, everybody has to lose all their games and you have to win all. No. Phoenix could lose 2 more games and it'd be fine. Like, hey, understandable. Well, they lost to these teams because they're good. And the Lakers went out and they get the 6 seed. But more realistic than that is it's the Lakers have a very good chance of getting the 7. They get the 7, that means they at least play at home to win that one game.
True.
Cool, bro. I'm not hiring because you can't do the work that my guys do. Those guys are not human.
I'm just, that's what I was trying to, you know, correlate.
I've tried, man. I've tried hiring people, man. I've tried hiring people, not even for the labor stuff. There's a mindset you have to have. And most of the people that I've connected with, that I've tried to work with as equals, are either weak-minded, their work ethic sucks, they have emotional problems, they're slow, they're stupid, they're weak. I don't have tolerance for any of it. I'm insensitive, I'm mean, I don't care. My empathy is usually in the red. And my guys who can work are not, like I said, not human. They don't feel any. I don't get mad at them or yell at them or I'm upset with them because they're just as psycho as I am. I need psychos around me. I can't be around normal people. I'm sorry. It's just not going to work. I need people that can. You know, I was at Knott's Berry Farm all day today. I closed 2 deals and talked to about 10 people while I was waiting for my kid to go on rides. That's, you know, I can't. No one does that.
What's your favorite ride at Knott's Berry Farm? I love the water rides, so that's just me. I love that log ride. Sorry. I know it's old, but hey.
What is that one? The Interceptor or something? It starts with an I. I forgot.
Yeah. There's the train ride. I like that little, you know, the
Yeah, I went on that. Yeah,
the speeding train.
That's a good one.
I got stuck once. You know the one that that they rise you up and that they hang you? It's like an umbrella type deal. Like, yeah, I got
like
stuck
Ninja
up there
from Six Flags.
Yeah, I got stuck up there for about 20 minutes one time. That wasn't too fun.
I was going to say F that. If I would have. I'm not a litigation type, but geez, I would have totally. You guys are paying for this.
Yeah, it was not fun.
Paying for this.
That feeling when you don't have anything under you is not a good one for
me. I'm not getting stuck. I'm not getting stuck up there. No, if I'm stuck up there for 20 minutes,
my son and I were stuck up there for 20 minutes. It was not pleasant. I was not a good person to be around. You want to hear me cursing? There you go.
No way. I would have called the CEO and said, "What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I don't want to hear about no season passes to not very farm either."
Speaking of something like that, did you hear about Shohei Ohtani's first home run ball? And how the lady that caught it was pressured, separated from her husband. They ganged her up in a corner and pressured her into just getting some freebies instead of letting her keep it and authenticating it and letting her or giving her a nice cash prize. Your thoughts on that, Joe, before we head on
out. Who were the people that did this?
The Dodgers officials, of course.
I want to know who their names are.
Well, they don't tell you that in the story, in the article. It's just they tell you how it was done. That sounds like a Dodger or a Major League Baseball or a sports thing to do. They take you out of your seat. They usher you somewhere into a private room or whatnot. And just,
I feel bad because if they had done that to me, I would have said, "Can I finish the game, please?" "No, we got a box. We got a box." I'd be like, "No, I like my seats. I'll stay here."
I think they doing it to you would be a little bit different than the lady that they, ultimately did it.
True, but that would have been fun. That would have been fun to tell them. No,
I penance and I think they gave her.
I don't collect memorabilia. Yeah. I don't like things. When you start to get to my age, you want to get stuff out of your house. I don't want baseballs. I don't want bats. I don't want any of that shit. I don't need perks. I can go get perks all I want, the way I want them to get them. Now, what I would have done was I would have said, "I want to talk to Shohei, and I want his old interpreter to be there."
And that's another thing. Get this, Joe, on top of it. They're saying, the officials are saying, and Shohei's are saying that they, he met the couple involved. The couple says they never even spoke.
Okay, so the question is, what is that ball worth, really?
It was estimated about $100,000.
Okay. So she gave away $100,000 for what?
I think some autographed baseballs.
So it was a bad decision on her part. Yep. Now she's going to get $100,000, let's say, in that deal. I think it'll be more, by the way, especially if she waits it out.
Maybe, I would ask Laker Nick on this, but should she file maybe suit?
She's definitely getting hit up by lawyers for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to happen. They're going to figure out a way to get her something because that's America.
But a bigger thing on that is the fact that did they or did they not meet Shohei? It depends on who you talk to. If Shohei is lying.
If the question is there, that means no.
Okay.
Yeah. Shohei has too many other things going on in his life to go meet some fan that luckily caught this ball. I don't think he cares.
So does that imply anything in regards to his other controversial thing as far as him or did he or did he not?
We live in a society where anything that happens always has to have some conspiracy behind it. My thoughts on it is if everything's a conspiracy, that means there isn't a conspiracy. Why can't it just be this guy gambled and stole money and that was it? I have friends of mine who I trust giving them my bank account, give them my routing number. And if someone stole my stuff, one of my friends did it.
God help
me. Famous. Okay. I didn't know. But they'll be like, you knew. Come on. You're on top of everything, Joe. We know you. Yeah. I'm also human. And I can't be looking at my bank account every 5 minutes. Sometimes stuff happens. That's it. there's no proof. By the way, we've already got inside info that nothing's going to happen to Shohei. There's no evidence of him gambling. This stuff would have been clean by now. This thing would have been much worse right now if there was actual evidence.
Sean, I was at a convention at the MGM Grand last year. I saw, I bet you have a good Kobe rookie collection, but I saw a whole case of Kobe rookies. I was just like, oh, you know, my God, it was just insane. The amount of different variating Kobe rookie or Kobe cards, period, that are like worth $1,000 or more is just, my gosh, insane out there. I'm just trying to, you know, hold on to my Victor Wembanyama ticket from the game that was there in Henderson, because I think I might be the only one or one of the few that actually has it. And so I'm hoping that'll be a little bit something there, but we'll see. We'll see. Victor, I think, is going to be a good player in this league, but we'll leave it at that. All right. Cool, bro. You can ask Joe one football question to see if you know more.
Don't ask me when they went to the nail salon in 1977 either. That's not going to work. Ask me a real question. Something that
one normal. One question you get for tonight. Focus in on the girl that you like, that you say likes you. That's more important. Thank you. Yep. Lakers in five, obviously great one. Absolutely, Serge. Again, thank you, Serge, for everything you do. Whenever you stop on by, we are truly blessed. Best Lakers mob that's out there. He's on Lakers in five. He's on Empire Jeff TV. He's on a ton of them out there. So always support Serge when he's here and appreciate the work that he does. Cool, bro. Come on. Come up with that question, man. We haven't got all evening, man. We got a whole weekend of Lakers basketball we got to cover. Come on. All right. I'm going to count down to 10, cool, bro. 10. All right. Yeah. Yes. And that's great, cool, bro. Ask the freaking question, cool, bro.
I don't know what that means. Make you happy. What, she buys you milkshakes? Like, what exactly? No,
there's a girl that he likes and he thinks she likes him too. So there you go.
Okay. Well,
yes. Married.
Hang out with her and
yeah.
Laugh and giggle and make her laugh. Make her laugh. Make sure her parents like you and, see what happens. Just don't get too attached in high school. I purposely did not have a girlfriend in high school because I didn't want something to hold me back. I had to get out of town. I had to get out of Dodge. I was out of my parents' house in 2 months after I graduated from high school. I was off and running. I didn't have time for some. But I love you.
Search you can also find at DTLF as well. So absolutely just a great part of what we do, and we're always blessed to have him here. Once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. Don't forget tomorrow, I'm going to come on with the pregame and then get you set up for playback.tv/Lakers Fast Break. I'm hoping Stone and Laker Nick and Joe will carry the day on that, and also as well.
Cool, bro, what did I just tell you? How many touchdowns does Stafford have? How the hell am I going to know that?
Oh, cool, bro. All right. Serge, we always got love for you, my friend. That's great that you know it, cool, bro. But
of again, course you know it because you just looked it up.
All right, cool, bro. We're going to head out.
How many penalties does Oz Hakim have in 1999?
Oh, my gosh. Cobra says he still knows more about football than Joe. You can't
insult the intelligence of anyone and use GOAT for every player you like.
He's 15, Joe. He's 15.
You know what GOAT means?
Cut him a little slack.
Greatest of all time. No, he needs to learn now. At this point, he knows who we are.
That's true.
Greatest of all time can't be more than one. That's why it's greatest of all time. Who's Joe Cup? I don't know who the hell Joe Cup is.
Are you mean Joe Cap?
No, he means Cooper Cup. Mm-hmm. man, he got messed up.
Cooper Cup, Joe Capp, come on, make a choice. I know it's probably Cooper.
Joe Capp had one of the greatest punches to a former former rival that I've seen on YouTube.
Kubro, I'm not going to go into detail. We went into this like about a month and a half ago where I spent 10 minutes on breaking down the touchdown list for the best receivers of all time and how Cooper Kupp is like way down on that list. There's no way he's the GOAT. He wasn't even the GOAT of last year's team for the Los Angeles Rams. So come on, slow down on that.
Okay, if you don't care what anybody says, then what are you asking for?
There you go. Kurt Affair says, get your LFB official Joe Cup. You know, that's something we don't have in the merchandise store. Maybe we have to go ahead and get that.
An LFB cup?
I'm here to announce your divorce.
Who's married here? And send me the picture.
Lakers Fast Break at yahoo.com. Darren says, since we don't have Intel Wild here, truly appreciate the super chat. Thank you, Darren. I have, is a Coolsbro girlfriend a Rams cheerleader? I seriously doubt that, though. But thank you again, as always, Darren. Truly appreciate the super chat. Very kind of you to do so. Joe, again, great weekend for the Lakers, hopefully coming up for us Saturday and Sunday. Don't forget, it is an early game, everyone. 12:30 p.m. Pacific against the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm doing the pregame, but also as well, we're going to be having coverage on playback.tv, South Circus Fast Break, and also on YouTube and Facebook as well. And then John Costa is going to be going ahead and being part of the postgame. He's going to host the postgame for us right here at the Lakers Fast Break. Joe, any last thoughts before we head on out, my friend?
No.
Okay. And on that note, once again, it is the Cleveland Cavaliers on Saturday and the Minnesota Timberwolves on Sunday. Also as well, Lakerholic Spotlight. I'm going to host the Lakerholic Spotlight with Laker Tom on Sunday, and that's going to be noon or one. We haven't figured out that yet, so we'll go ahead and make sure it's going to be early afternoon to get you prepped up for the game on Sunday night against the Minnesota Timberwolves as well. Big shout out to Serge, Sunday, Sean. Thank you again, Sean, for the correction on Lakers Fast Break at yahoo.com that you sent us. We stand corrected, and yes, but I corrected you, my friend. It is 18 teams for the Big Ten, which obviously can't count. So I don't know how that good that makes the Big Ten if they can't count how many teams they have in their own conference. But it's 18 with Oregon and Washington. So we'll see what happens. It is the Lakers Fast Break. It is Joe Soro along with me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks again for watching, listening. If you've not yet liked and subscribed, please do so. Follow us on the way out if you can on Facebook and also as well Twitch and Twitter as well. Sunday says, let's go Iowa. You know what? That was a great game. Came down to the final seconds on that. A controversial offensive foul. But yes,
Caitlin Clark. As good as Caitlin is, I think they blew their wad with UConn, and I think South Carolina is going to win it all.
Oh, yeah. South Carolina looks like a machine.
They're a machine, yeah. Yes. Caitlin will have to go God mode times two.
Sunday, Darren. Yeah,
and I'm going to be cheering for it. If she drops 12, 13 threes and wins the game for them, it could happen, but that's what they'll probably need.
It'll be me and Laker Tom because Jamie is busy this weekend. But speaking of this weekend, again, the Lakers.
So Jamie's being Jamie this weekend.
Pretty much. Yeah. But as far as this weekend, we've got Minnesota and Cleveland, of course, the Final Four. And, of course, what's going on with the women's Final Four down to the final game. But WrestleMania weekend as well. Any thoughts on WrestleMania before we head it out?
Yeah.
Mr. Randy Poffo?
No, not today.
Nothing for The Rock on that? Or no. Cody finishing a story?
I haven't watched WWE. You know, I'm more of a WWF guy. Yeah.
Oh, pretty good. That's a pretty good one. All right. Absolutely.
Maybe a little WCW in there. Yeah.
Dante, I disagree with you. It is the smartest thing that they did was going to 2 days. Not only do they get the gate from both those days, you also make sure you avoid a 7-hour WrestleMania like you were having. That was absolutely nauseating to sit through. So it is the smartest move that they are now a 2-day WrestleMania, Saturday and Sunday. But it is... Of course, the Lakers Fast Break here. We'll be covering the Lakers right here Remember, Cleveland on Saturday and Minnesota on Sunday. Looking forward to that. Is Triple H a legend?
When The Rock would do promos of him, that made him a legend, yes. When he would go, and I'm Triple H, and I got a $3 dime of a wife. Like this cracking on Triple H, being the cracker in that is always, it would make him a legend.
I will say Sunday that he is a legend now more because he is now putting this company, WWE, in the right creative direction. And it's no longer in Vince McMahon's hands. That's probably the best thing for the WWE audience as a whole right there.
Yeah, he ain't going to shit all over it.
That's for sure. Oh, there's a pun in there somewhere. Mm-hmm.
Gary, you like that one too, buddy? Like I said, I got more for you.
All right, cool, bro. May the force be with you as well. May the force be with everyone out there this weekend. Very busy weekend, sports, entertainment, all that good stuff. And we're going to go ahead and follow what we can, of course, always here. Check us out on Saturday and Sunday and everything that's going on right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.